kind that would take orders from someone else willingly. Unless, of course, it inconvenienced someone he didn't like. Like us.
Mine either,
Carver replied with more candor than I was expecting, unaware of the flurry of thoughts passing through my mind.
I know now that it got greedy and were taking every single caravan or wagon that passed by, but in hindsight, I should have caught that, given how much they were bringing in, but that doesn't matter anymore, does it? We're past that point now.
No, it doesn't, I agreed, bringing my gaze back to Carver and banished my whirling thoughts, knowing that I was going to need to be present with what was coming next. And because of that, you're here to send a message by repaying the favor.
I knew you were a smart one when I first saw you, Lyrian,
he said, his face breaking out into a genuine smile.
That's exactly what I'm doing. What I have to do if I'm to keep things nice and manageable on my end of things. I'm sure you understand.
I do, I replied, tightening my grip on Razor's hilt as I spoke, mentally readying myself for the second round of this battle. But regardless of how this turns out, now that I know that you're out here and setting yourself up as some sort of a bandit king, I'm not exactly going to let that stand.
A bandit king!
Carver repeated, giving me an incredulous look before he broke out into a laugh.
Oh, yeah! I suppose that's how you'd see it. On some days, I suppose it's not all that far from the truth either. As for letting it stand, I suggest very much that you do exactly that, Lyrian. This peace offering of mine is a one-time thing.
We know too well how any of your offers end up, Carver, Freya growled, the surviving thunder lizards grunting in sympathy. With a knife in your ribs when you least expect it.
Only if you step out of line again,
Carver warned, before slicing his spear through the air and waving all the adventurers behind him forward.
But on that note, I think it's high time we got a show on the road. Maybe if you're lucky, one of you might live long enough. Move!
Thorn's bellow, accompanied by the pained sound of injured horses, tore through the air, followed by the creaking rumble of hooves and wood.
What?
Reacting instinctively, I moved to spin around and look behind me, my guts sinking as I thought that we were under attack from behind. But before I could complete my turn, Freya grabbed me roughly by the shoulder and dragged me off my feet as she leaped past me.
Shit!
Freya cursed behind me as the two of us fell on top of a small bush that lined the path, just seconds before a pair of horses thundered through the spot that we had just been standing, the rest of the wagon following close behind. Shaking off the impact, I craned my head upwards just in time to hear Thorn shout something incomprehensible as the wagon shot past us, directly towards Carver and the advancing adventurers. No sooner did he finish did a thunderclap of magic fill the air, followed by a shimmering wall of force appearing at the head of the wagon.
Oh, damn!
I gasped, realizing what both Thorn and Halcyon had just done as the wagon plowed into the horde of raiders with a loud crunch of flesh and bone, clipping or outright trampling all those who were unable to get out of the way in time due to his timely pyro clap and the press of bodies.
Lyrian, let's go!
Freya yelled, slapping me on the back as she pushed herself off the now flattened bush.
They bought us a chance!
Right, I called back while getting my feet under me and staring ahead at the chaos that Thorn and Halcyon had caused. The large cluster of raiders that had been threatening us had been thrown into complete disarray, a gaping hole now in the middle of their formation as they desperately tried to pick themselves off the ground or continued to writhe in pain on the ground. Their numbers plus the heavy foliage on either side of the path had worked against them, many of them unable to get completely clear of the charging wagon in time. The few lucky ones that had managed to avoid getting hit by the wagon stared numbly away from us, watching the departing wagon rumble and bounce furiously as the panicked horses carried it away from us and onto the distant plains.
At least the wagon is safe for now, I thought as I glanced towards the surviving members of Virtus and noticed that a few of our own had also suffered glancing blows from Thorn's maneuver and were receiving healing from Thea,
something that I figured was a small price to pay for the damage that we had managed to inflict.
Now's our chance!
I shouted as I gripped Razor tightly and took the first step forward towards Carver and his band of raiders.
Let's finish this or go down fighting! Virtus, attack!
There was a moment of silence, my words taking a few seconds to register in everyone's head, allowing Freya, Amaranth, and I to take several steps before a disorganized cry rose behind us, the rest of Virtus finally rallying to my call. An echo of footsteps filled the air behind me as I led the charge back into battle. It was time for round two to begin. The three of us slammed into the disoriented mass of adventurers like a force of nature, Amaranth's flying form taking down a quartet of raiders as he leaped into the fray with a savage roar, his claws and teeth flashing viciously, rending apart flesh everywhere they touched. A heartbeat behind my familiar Freya and I followed in his wake, ruthlessly slashing out at the wounded still lying on the ground or taking advantage to attack those distracted by his rampage. For the second time in the day, my world dissolved into chaos as the rush of battle consumed me. Blood and violence filled my vision everywhere I looked, screams of pain intermittently drowned out by thunderclaps of magic or Amaranth's primal roar as he threw himself onto yet another victim. I had thought that the first battle with these raiders had been a brutal affair, each of us fighting with the burning rage of being ambushed out of the blue. But with the way this second battle was evolving, it had been almost cordial in comparison. Carver's presence struck far too many chords amongst the founding members of the guild, many of them having experienced his cruelty firsthand. From the moment that he had revealed himself, this whole incident had gone from a simple ambush in the wild to something very personal. Something that would be impossible to stop until we were standing over his body. Or he was standing over ours. Swinging a crackling razor in a powerful arc through the air, I bared my teeth in a vicious snarl as the blade connected with the side of an adventurer's head, biting deep into flesh and bone. Feeling the sword anchor itself into the man's skull, I gave it a hard yank while simultaneously discharging the shocking touch I held, causing my attacker to jerk and twitch violently as he collapsed to the ground. Wrenching my weapon free as the man fell, I angled my blade and stabbed it deep into the armpit of a man threatening Freya, before tearing it free and deflecting a scything axe that was aimed directly at my head. No sooner did I bat the axe away did a single set of Amaranth's claws sweep along the midsection of my attacker, tearing through both armor and flesh as if it were paper, exposing soft and vulnerable organs. With no time for a merciful stroke to end his suffering, I lashed out with a heavy kick at my attacker, catching the stooping man directly in the face as he reflexively bent down to stuff his exposed innards back into himself. The blow sent him reeling backward as he fought to keep his balance, eventually causing him to collide with an all-too-familiar shape behind me. Before the man could even begin to recover, a jagged spear tip burst free of his chest from behind, then vanished with a wet sucking sound as it was pulled free.
"Pitiful fool!"
Carver growled as he shoved the now dead man off himself and out of his way, fixing me with an angry glance, his stag-bone helmet sitting awkwardly on his head, which was now missing a single antler, no doubt due to Thorn's reckless charge with the wagon.
"Not even worth the energy to keep alive?"
Bounding forward right at Carver's side was the crimson spirit wolf that I'd seen earlier, its hungry feral expression shifting eerily as it faded in and out of sight. I had no idea where Carver had managed to find or befriend such a high-leveled creature, but the cunning glint that I saw in its eye made me doubt that it was a simple spirit.
"Nice to see that you haven't changed, Carver,"
I greeted the man, noticing that all of the other raiders around us had suddenly given us a wide berth after seeing him brutally dispatch one of his own, allowing both Freya and Amaranth a chance to break free and fall in beside me.
"He was weak,"
Carver explained as he flicked the blood off his spear.
"And if there is one thing I cannot tolerate, it's weakness in my followers." "I missed my first chance to kill you, Carver,"
Freya spat, her body visibly trembling as she readied herself to lunge forward.
"I'm gonna enjoy burying my spear in your heart." "Oh, I would like to see you try, Freya. The both of you, actually,"
Carver taunted, pulling his shield close towards his body as he glanced between Freya and me, waving a short spear through the air.
"The last time that we met, you all had the levels on me, so I was forced to take a more conservative approach. This time, however, I think the advantage is mine."
Without another word, Carver suddenly thrust forward his spear and barked an incomprehensible word of power, causing a violet cloud of energy to shoot from the end of his spear and wash over Freya, Amaranth, and I, immediately causing the three of us to hack and cough as a searing pain filled our lungs. A set of flashing alerts appeared briefly in my vision, before vanishing and leaving a single red icon in the corner of my eye. "You have been afflicted by Carver's sickening miasma. Carver's sickening miasma hits you for 13 points of disease damage."
"Shit!"
I exclaimed in between ragged coughs as Carver leaped forward after finishing his spell, his short spear jabbing directly towards my face. Caught completely off guard by the man's sudden display of magic, I barely swung Razor up in time to deflect the spear, only to have the edge of Carver's shield slam heavily into my side with enough force to crack ribs.
Ugh! He's a shaman!
Freya called out, voice sounding raw as she too continued to let out several pained coughs from Carver's affliction, her spear darting in from the corner of my vision and forcing the half-orc to take a half a step backward. No sooner did Carver step out of the way, however, did my vision fill with the blurred form of the Crimson Spirit Wolf as it effortlessly dodged around Amaranth's attack and leaped towards me, its ghost-like paws slamming into each of my shoulders before I could even think of reacting. Landing with a heavy crash, I reflexively threw my free hand up into the air before me just as an iron jaw clamped down on my forearm, filling me with both pain and a sickening draining sensation that I knew all too well.
No!
My eyes widened in sudden terror as I felt the energy in my body begin to fade, a damning message that I had hoped never to see appearing in my combat log. Malevolent wolf spirit bites you for 76 points of damage. Malevolent wolf spirit drains you for 37 points of mana.
It's draining my mana!
I felt my mind go into a panic as I fervently tried to pull my arm free of the spirit's maw and swung the arm that held Razor in an upward motion, hoping to stab the creature in the side. But before I could move my sword arm more than an inch, the wolf leaped off me, twisting my arm viciously as it evaded a savage swipe from Amaranth, who had since recovered from his missed attack just seconds earlier.
It is too quick,
Amaranth snarled with frustration in my mind as he adjusted to the wolf's sudden movement and rushed to follow. Not able to form a coherent reply to Amaranth from the panic that still consumed me, I instead chose to pull hard on the arm that was still trapped in the wolf's mouth as my mana steadily continued to drain out of my body. Feeling both flesh and armor give way under the wolf's teeth, I tore my arm free of the creature's mouth, just as Amaranth rushed past me and finally collided with the ghost wolf, with an ear-splitting cacophony of canine snarls and feline hisses.
"Leave the creature to me!"
Amaranth ordered mentally amid the chaos of his fight. Completely in agreement with my familiar, I scrambled along the ground in an attempt to put some distance between Amaranth and the mana-devouring spirit, before forcing myself up onto my feet and turning towards the sounds of Freya and Carver, reflexively checking just how much mana I had left in the process. HP 562 out of 792, stamina 436 out of 720, mana 351 out of 790.
Fuck! The wolf stole over 100 points of mana!
I blinked away the update as another searing cough forced itself out of my body. In the excitement of the wolf's attack, adrenaline had allowed me to forget about Carver's affliction, but not completely ignore the damage that it did to my system. Pushing aside the searing pain in my chest for a moment, I rushed to rejoin Freya and Carver, the two of them brawling viciously in our relative oasis of calm within the greater battle that continued to rage around us. In the few seconds that I had lost track of the battle, the tempo had notably shifted, becoming even fiercer, neither side willing or able to spare anyone to intervene in our fight. For all intents and purposes, we were on our own.
So, Lyrian, did you like your first meeting with Valifor?
Carver asked me just as I re-entered the melee, disengaging momentarily from Freya and regarding the both of us warily.
I figured the two of you would hit off. He has quite the taste for spellcasters.
What the hell is he?
I shot back, not truly expecting an answer as I lunged to attack Carver, Freya following me a heartbeat behind. Given the level difference between Amaranth and the wolf spirit, I didn't expect him to be able to keep it off our backs forever, but hopefully long enough for Freya and me to put an end to Carver, or at the very least drive him off. Assuming Freya and I even can. The grim thought passed through my mind as Carver whirled his spear through the air, deflecting or avoiding our attacks with ease. It seemed that he hadn't been lying about having a level advantage on us, which could have put him as high as level 17, assuming it was comparable to the wolf who seemingly followed his orders.
A spirit wolf!
Carver replied unhelpfully as he blocked Freya's spear with his shield and then thrust his own weapon towards me, the jagged tip piercing through the section of armor that protected my hip and drawing forth blood.
A special kind of spirit wolf, though!
Very helpful,
I spat, burying the pain from Carver's attack and launching myself forward at the man, swinging a crackling razor through the air as I decided to take a risk and use up some of my mana while I still had it. Without using magic to augment my fighting style, I was at best a lightly armored warrior, and given the level disadvantage that we already had, this wasn't the time to hold anything back. Besides, I added silently as I finally managed to get Razor's electrified tip through Carver's guard, sinking it deep into the heavy leathers that protected his shoulder. I can always return the favor and steal his mana like the wolf did mine. Grunting in pain as electricity discharged itself through his body, Carver flinched involuntarily, giving both Frey and I the faintest opening to press our attacks. With a cry of triumph, she drove her spear into the half-orc's side while I pulled Razor free of Carver's shoulder and used it to knock the rising point of his spear back towards the ground, reaching out with the hand that the wolf had bitten earlier. Grabbing his arm roughly, I tightened my grip on Carver's arm and wasted no time in beginning to drain his own mana myself, watching his eyes widen in surprise as he realized what was happening. I happen to like spellcasters too! I repeated Carver's words to him as he reflexively pulled himself free of Freya's spear in his side and began to backpedal in an attempt to break my grip. However, I had expected the move and managed to maintain my mana-draining grip for a couple more seconds before a short thrust of his spear forced me to abandon my efforts or suffer another injury.
Well, aren't you full of surprises, Lyrian?
Carver announced, his expression becoming unreadable as he regarded me in a new light.
Seems like I'm not the only one who's been busy over the last few weeks and learning new tricks to show off.
You don't know the half of it, I replied as Freya and I resumed our attacks, not wanting to give Carver the opportunity to recover.
It's a shame, though, you didn't spend more of it leveling through,
Carver added mournfully, shifting his body to accept a glancing blow from Freya's spear while blocking Razor with an expert shift of his shield, leaving his spear completely free as a sickly green orb of magic formed at its tip.
You might just have been able to stand up to my tricks.
Before I could react, the orb shot forward and slammed into my chest, instantly filling my body with a sickening sensation as a fever caused my internal temperature to soar. A second later, an aching pain filled all my joints, followed by a wave of muscle spasms and an overwhelming feeling of nausea. In the blink of an eye, I'd gone from my regular healthy self to the sickest I could ever recall being, each and every cold or flu that I'd ever experienced paling in comparison. And then I felt Carver's spear bury itself into my stomach. I gasped as a burst of pain exploded through my body, Carver savagely twisting his spear as he pulled it out of me, leaving me staggering backward away from him, trying to create some distance between us. Blinking numbly from the combined agony of Carver's spell and the brutal wound in my stomach, I was barely able to make out the list of messages that had rapidly appeared in my combat log. You have been afflicted by Carver's insidious fever. Carver's insidious fever hits you for 33 points of disease damage. Carver critically hits you for 178 points of damage.
Lyrian!
I heard Freya shouting concern as I tried to force myself past the near-crippling sickness that racked my body, only to have Carver's voice drown her out.
That is a pretty nasty spell, isn't it?
The half-orc taunted with glee.
Too bad it doesn't last that long, though. But fortunately, I'm not done quite just yet. Valifor, come!
Almost before the words finished leaving Carver's mouth, did the translucent form of the Crimson Spirit Wolf suddenly appear in front of him, Amaranth's surprised shout entering my mind a heartbeat afterward.
The creature vanished!
He shouted in panic from somewhere behind me, the sound of his claws scratching along the ground reaching my ears as he tried to figure out what had just happened.
Pretty neat, now!
Carver continued seamlessly as I reflexively flinched away from the wolf, forcing myself to bring Razor's point up high to defend myself despite the illness still coursing through my body.
Though it's this next trick that's the one really worth watching.
Carver let his words hang in the air for a second before barking out a harsh command.
Valifor, kill!
With a feral bark, the wolf's body partially shifted into an insubstantial state as it practically flew off the ground towards me, covering the distance between us at the speed of thought. Moving reflexively, I threw up Razor in front of me, hearing both Freya and Amaranth shout as the wolf slammed into me and took me off my feet for a second time, sending me crashing down onto my back. Struggling to catch my breath from the fall as the wolf pressed down on top of me, I felt a hard pressure dig into my hand, Razor's hilt twisting awkwardly in my grip. Gazing upwards at the wolf, I saw that my quick reaction had forced my sword into the creature's ethereal maw and was the only thing keeping it at bay. I didn't know whether a spirit creature such as the wolf was a wholly corporeal or incorporeal entity, but given that my sword had stopped it, at least temporarily, from tearing out my throat, I wasn't about to argue. Straining to keep hold of the sword with one hand, I placed my free hand on the flat edge of the blade and tried to force it deeper into the wolf's mouth, using it as leverage to push it away. Snarling around the edges of the blade as it fought back against my efforts to push it away, I was surprised to find that the creature showed no sign of pain or discomfort from the sharp edges of the weapon, noticing that its jaw was, in fact, clenching downwards.
Is it trying to bite?
I had barely begun to form the thought before Razor suddenly shattered right before my eyes, wicked metal shards flying in every direction as the wolf's jaw snapped shut.
Shit!
I gasped as all resistance from the two now shattered halves of Razor in my hands vanished, Valifor lunging forward to take a large bite at my face before I could react, sinking its teeth into my cheek and jaw. I felt flesh tear and bone break as the wolf snapped its head to the side, causing mine to jerk in sympathy, the familiar cold sensation of my mana being drained returning with a vengeance. Dropping the broken shards of Razor, I reached up to grab the spectral wolf at the same moment Amaranth leaped onto it.
Lyrian!
Amaranth's mental roar seared my mind as I saw him sink his massive teeth into the back of Valifor's neck, his weight shoving the wolf down hard onto my chest, making it impossible for me to breathe.
Hold on!
Trapped underneath the two creatures, I felt my body shake and jerk awkwardly as Amaranth attempted to dislodge the wolf from on top of me. Valifor, though, stubbornly refused to give up its iron hold on my head. Feeling the last bits of my mana begin to ebb away, I began to panic, reaching out towards the wolf on top of me, hoping to return the favor, or at the very least, nullify whatever it was draining from me. Pressing my hands deep into the shimmering essence that comprised it, I reached into the wolf, expecting to feel the creature's mana, my mana, flow back into me, hopefully giving Amaranth the chance to dislodge it. But I felt nothing. There was no mana in the creature at all, at least not anything that my ability could pull from it. It was as if the spirit on top of me consumed the energy it was draining from me the moment that it left my body, leaving nothing inside of it for me to recover. My panic rose to new levels as I worked my hands up towards the wolf's face and reached for its eyes, hoping to find some vulnerable spot I could jab my finger into and force it to release its hold. But before I could do anything, I felt an insatiable hunger rise up and consume me, banishing any sense of rational thought away from my mind as my vision involuntarily took on an azure hue. Four fleeting alerts appeared in the corner of my eye before vanishing as quickly as they appeared. You have run out of mana. You are affected by ethereal hunger. Your body consumes itself for 1 point of damage. Your body consumes itself for 2 points of damage. A horrific scream tore itself out of my throat as the hunger dwelling inside of me intensified, a distant part of my mind identifying it as being exactly the same as the one I'd heard from the ether-warped ghouls several weeks earlier. My vision blurred as everything reduced itself to varying shades of azure, all other detail and color vanishing as the hunger within continued to grow with every second that passed. I felt the weight on top of me shift in surprise, which was followed by a jerking motion that tore something free of my jaw. Yet whatever had happened, I felt no pain, my head automatically snapping back towards the now black silhouette on top of me. The hunger that now drove me regarded it carefully, gazing into the void of energy for several long heartbeats before a primal anger surged through me as it recognized what the shape was. A rival predator. With an unearthly snarl, my hands shot up of their own accord, fingers outstretched as they thrust themselves into the void that was perched on top of me, immediately eliciting a loud canine howl of pain. Writhing around my hands faster than I could react, the silhouette shifted into a strange inky blot and leaped off me, revealing yet another shape, this one a dark azure. Instinctively, I reached out towards the shape, but before my body could even begin to move, it bounded away from me, chasing after whatever I'd just wounded. The hunger gnawing at me from within continued to intensify, my mind no longer able to focus past it, everything that I once was vanishing under its all-consuming presence. Drawn by a sense I couldn't identify, my body continued to move without active input from me as I rose to my feet, taking in all the various shades of azure that appeared around me. Some were bright and alluring, while others were dark and thus barely worth my notice. It only took me an instant to take in all the bright azure shapes around me, something within me instinctively drawn to the brighter shapes like a moth to the flame. There! I was already in motion before the thought struck me, a bright azure shape, the brightest azure shape, looming before my eyes as I rapidly closed the distance towards it. A second, darker shape danced in front of it, its form shifting strangely in sync with the brighter one. I was far too gone to understand what the shapes were doing. All that mattered to me was getting towards the brightest azure shape in range. The hunger demanded it. Without even a second thought, I barreled past the dark shape as I closed the final distance between me and my target, one of my hands shoving it out of my way as I passed, sending it sprawling out of my vision. It was then, with nothing else before me, that I thrust my hands towards my target, desperately attempting to reach into the bright azure shape where I knew the energy that my hunger craved was stored. But to my frustration, the shape recoiled at my attempt to reach out to it, my hands hitting something hard that I couldn't quite see. My balance then shifted as a weight pressed itself into my shoulder, the hunger within me crying out for some reason I didn't understand. Redoubling my efforts, I launched myself forward again, this time sweeping my hands wide as I tried to step in closer to the shape, once again feeling a hand hit something hard and the other running ineffectively along something soft but unyielding. While I tried to make sense of what had just happened, another weight pressed into me, this time in the center of my chest, which for some reason caused my footing to falter, the hunger reaching new levels that I could have never dreamed possible. I began to feel strength leave my body, no longer able to keep up with the demand placed on it, as a deep fatigue came over me. I stumbled forward, weakly sweeping a hand towards the shape once more, only to have it leap backwards away from me once again, escaping my reach. The hunger demanded that I follow it until it found what it needed to sate it, but my body was no longer capable. I felt my legs buckle as the final dregs of energy left my body, sending me falling to the ground. Craning my head upward as I fell, I caught one last glimpse of the bright shape that had evaded me, its presence somehow smaller than it was before. Then I hit the ground, and everything went black.
Loading. Please wait.
Chapter 27. Aldford, Town Hall. I hit the ground hard as I resurrected in Aldford, my mind flailing in momentary panic as it tried to pull myself together after yet another death, this one being perhaps the most traumatic that I had experienced to date. No sooner did I try to begin to process what had happened to me, did a powerful wave of nausea cause my stomach to clench as an all-too-familiar hunger welled up from within me.
Why didn't it go away?
I thought as I reflexively curled into a fetal position and retched.
I died in respawn. It should be over.
The hunger shifted as I writhed on the ground, transitioning into a blinding spike of pain that radiated through my head as if there was something buried deep inside of it that desperately wanted to claw its way out. My vision blurred as the agony intensified, causing everything to go completely white as I felt something touch the edges of my mind, leaving me grinding my palms into my eyes, desperately paging to the menu that held the logout option. But just before I was about to trigger the logout process, the pain vanished, and my head suddenly snapping back to perfect clarity, leaving me gasping in a heavy sweat as my heart hammered in my ears and the familiar feeling of death sickness settled onto me.
What the hell was that?
I took in a deep breath and tried to process what had just happened. In all my time playing Ascend Online, I'd never felt anything close to what I'd just experienced. Save for the time that I'd fallen into the ley line. Was it because I ran out of mana and died?
Lyrian!
Sierra's voice reached my ears, followed quickly behind by several rushing feet.
Lyrian, what happened to you?
I felt a hand touch my shoulder as I pulled my hands away from my face, looking up at the concerned face of Sierra, who kneeled over me, with Constantine and Helix standing over her shoulder, their eyes all widening as they looked down at me, their expression shifting from concern to outright worry, if not fear.
Mark?
Constantine whispered as he joined Sierra in a kneeling position, who had inhaled sharply in shock as she looked at me.
Are you okay?
No,
I replied as I reached up to rub my face and felt it strange to the touch. My hands still shook badly from what I just experienced, the death sickness not helping any with my condition. I knew it was going to take me some time until I felt normal again, but until then I had to try and force my way through the apathy and moroseness that threatened to consume me if I let myself focus on it for too long. I ran out of mana, I explained. Sierra and Constantine exchanged looks between one another before looking back down at me. They all knew what that meant for me, though fortunately for them, they had also missed the spectacle that I'd put on. What the hell happened while I was out of mana? I asked myself, remembering my azure-tinted vision and how all-consuming the hunger had been. Even discounting my more recent episode, I had completely lost control after Carver's wolf had drained my mana, even going as far to hurt it somehow with my bare hands. After it broke Razor, I remembered with a sudden pang of sorrow, one of my hands reaching down to where I expected my sword to be, only to find nothing.
Lyrian?
Constantine said after a few seconds, his concerned tone snapping me back to the present.
Your ether warping, it looks like it got worse.
I froze, the hand searching for Razor freezing in place. How bad?
Even gaunter, Sierra replied quietly, her expression not wavering as she spoke. And I can see slightly glowing veins in your face now, and down your neck. Similar to how it looked like when we were at the hub, just not as bright.
Great. I let out a sigh, the pain that I'd felt earlier now making a little more sense if my body had changed once again. I felt a wave of frustration, anger, and depression surge through me as I realized that everyone would once again be flinching at me whenever they saw my face. Then I ruthlessly pushed the confusing array of emotions to the side. I didn't have time to worry about my appearance right now, not while Carver was still out there and the rest of the guild was in danger. With a resigned shake of my head, I moved to get up to my feet, shifting the topic of conversation as I did so.
I'll figure that out later. We have a huge problem.
Carver, we know,
Sierra stated darkly as she rose with me, both her, Constantine, and Felix continuing to give me a worried look. A few of the others who resurrected ahead of you already told us, both about him and the bandits.
I completely forgot about him, I said, silently cursing myself a second time for thinking that the man had moved on to somewhere else. We just hadn't seen him for so long.
That he fell out of mind,
Helix added softly.
It happened to all of us, Lyrian, even with everything that he did.
He isn't the worst of our worries, though, Constantine cut in as we reshuffled ourselves into a standing circle, the movement allowing me an opportunity to look around and see the rest of the respawned guild members standing a short distance away in their own cluster, which I was surprised to see included Lazarus and his group. Sierra and I ran into orcs in the forest while we were scouting. We didn't even see them until they practically stepped out in front of us, Constantine continued. They were perfectly camouflaged in the brush, likely with magic of some sort.
Not just any orcs either, Lear, but NPC orcs, Sierra clarified. And Constantine is right. During our fight, two of them started channeling fireballs, and we couldn't get to them both in time, though I'm pretty sure that Amaranth managed to jump one of them before he got his spell off.
Orcs?
I replied in surprise as I remembered my familiar's panicked shouts during the battle and the rogue fireball that had impacted in the middle of Carver's group.
We didn't see any orcs at all during our fight.
That's what Helix said, too, Sierra told me with a nod. For whatever reason, Carver held them back.
That doesn't make sense, I replied as I forced my brain to work through the death sickness that hung over me and tried to work through Carver's motivations. As it was, he had us dead to rights with just the people he brought with him. If the orcs attacked too?
I'm guessing because he didn't want us to know he had them, Constantine said. Though I'm pretty sure he'll figure out we know when he finds the handful we killed, plus hopefully the one Amaranth got.
Hopefully,
Helix agreed in a gravelly voice. The four of us stood silently for a moment as we collected our thoughts, hearing the rest of the guild chatting nervously nearby. Many of them had known little of Carver's reputation and what he had done to the first group of adventurers that had come to Aldford under Graves. Though judging from the general tone of some of the conversations I overheard, I was confident that they would all be brought up to speed very quickly.
Fuck! As if this day wasn't bad enough already, I growled, turning my attention away from the guild members, feeling yet another thing land on top of my shoulders as I considered our next steps.
It hadn't been enough to have the threat of the ruptured ley line and Iberian spies on my plate, but now I had to deal with potential orcs living in the region. Led by Carver, of all people.
No kidding, Constantine replied, sensing my thoughts with a grim nod. When it rains, it pours.
We need to get back to the others, I said, turning my head briefly as Lazarus walked into view, breaking away from the other group of guild members and approaching us. The battle was too close to call when I died, but the others have to still be alive. No one else has respawned here after me.
It'll take us a while to get there,
Helix said cautiously, shifting to the side as Lazarus wordlessly fell into the group.
By the time we get there, what could we do?
We can take the horses, I countered, shaking my head at the lizard man. They may not all be bred for riding, but they'll be a hell of a lot faster than going on foot. I'm sure the new settlers will understand the need and let us borrow them. Helix paused for a moment, considering what I'd just said, then bobbed his head in agreement.
That would work. We could be there in a couple of hours, depending how fast the horses move.
We'll be too late to affect the battle, I said, glancing at everyone in the circle. But if we move fast, we might be able to save the wagon, or drive off Carver's forces if they're harassing the survivors. If nothing else, it'll make us feel better than sitting here and waiting, Sierra added in a small voice, and give us the chance to pick up our soul fragments where we died, at least before we lose too much more experience.
Then that sounds like a plan, I finished, turning my head towards Lazarus and acknowledging the man, who wasted no time in speaking.
We want to help, he stated simply. What can we do?
The half-giant's expression was completely serious as he waited for my answer, leaving me in no doubt that the offer was genuine. I motioned with my head in the direction of the pasture that we had set up on the outskirts of Oldford. You can saddle up with us.
Finally, I breathed with silent relief as we galloped across the plains over an hour later. The cloud of apathy and depression that was death sickness releasing its hold on me and allowing my mind to function clearly once more. I had experienced the effects of the death penalty a handful of times over the last month and was more than used to it.
At least as much as a person can be, I added dryly to myself. Dying was rarely a non-violent experience in Ascend Online, after all. The trick that I had found to avoid dwelling on the effects of the sickness was to keep moving and to prevent it from gaining hold on your psyche. The longer that one sat, contemplating one's death, the more it tended to dig in and reinforce itself, eventually leaving you with the desire to crawl into a corner and fall asleep, which often resulted in at least 8 straight hours of sleep, regardless of how rested you were before your death. But now that the death sickness had let go of me, I was no longer in danger of spiraling into a depression, and I allowed myself to relax, fractionally, as I considered what was ahead of us. Thus far, even an hour after we had left Aldford on our horses, no one else had died from the battle with Carver. We had told everyone in the guild to keep careful track of their party sense as we traveled, and to shout an alert if anyone happened to respawn in the direction of Aldford. So far, so good, I thought, checking on my own party sense once more and noting that Halcyon and Caius were still ahead of me, and from what I could tell, together, something that I considered to be a very good thing. The last I'd seen of Halcyon was him riding on top of the wagon as both he and Thorn barreled through Carver's raiders and out onto the plains. If he and Caius had managed to regroup, then it meant that they were able to fight their way out of the forest and were already, hopefully, heading towards us. Speaking of heading towards us, I thought with a start, as I realized that I now sensed Amaranth with much clearer detail, and that he was rushing towards me with impressive speed. We weren't close enough just yet for our mental communication, but at the speeds that we were both traveling, that would change in minutes.
Amaranth is closing in on us, I called out to the group, not wanting to startle anyone when an azure-furred puma sprinted out of the tall grasses that covered the plains.
The last thing we needed was a friendly fire incident with someone taking a shot at my familiar.
Lyrian!
Amaranth's relieved voice filled my mind a few minutes later as he finally came into range, his words coming out in a rush.
What happened? You somehow injured the creature, but your mind changed too. All I could hear was you screaming. Nothing I did could reach you.
I paused for a moment, taken aback by Amaranth's concern and how quickly he had spoken. I had never heard such worry coming from my familiar before, and I couldn't help but feel shaken at what he had told me. I held up a hand and signaled for everyone to stop as I mentally comprised my reply. I'm sorry, Amaranth, I sent first and foremost to the cat. I don't know exactly what happened. save that the wolf drained all of my mana and I lost control. I don't remember all too well what happened afterwards.
You fought like the warped creatures Carver set upon us ages ago,
Amaranth replied, the concern in his voice still present.
Magic flowed off you completely, and you showed no reaction to any wounds, at least until you fell.
What happened after that? I asked, hoping to shift the topic of conversation. Did Carver retreat? Did we win?
I don't know,
Amaranth told me with frustration.
After you died, all I could think of was rejoining you. I left the battle the moment I sensed where you were.
Oh, I said, suddenly remembering the compulsion that consumed Amaranth if I died and he still lived. It would have driven him to ignore everything that he was doing and rush to rejoin me as soon as physically possible, even if it meant leaving the battle behind. No one else resurrected in Aldford after me, I told him, hoping that it would set him at ease. And everyone seems to still be alive and together. Amaranth didn't reply for a few moments, causing me to worry that something had happened to him. But just as I was about to send another message his way, I noticed the grass part far ahead of me from on top of my horse, followed by glimpses of an azure-colored streak heading towards us. Dismounting from my horse, my feet barely had hit the ground before Amaranth erupted from the grass, his fur covered in blood and panting heavily. He wasted no time in crossing the distance between us, moving to lean his body heavily onto mine, relief shuddering through his body the moment that we made contact, as the compulsion that had been driving him released its hold on his mind. I paused for a moment to run my hands through his fur, silently noting that all of his wounds had since regenerated from the battle, despite there still being missing patches that would take longer to regrow.
That is better,
Amaranth said after a moment, his large head shaking from side to side.
My mind feels clearer once more.
Good, I replied, hearing other horses approach behind me as the rest of the party closed around me. Any news? Sierra asked as she pulled up on the other side of Amaranth, leaning down from her horse to offer the cat a hand to touch. Nothing, unfortunately, I answered, watching Amaranth reach up to rub his face on Sierra's outstretched hand in greeting. He left to rejoin me the moment that I died. He didn't see the rest of the battle. Then we should keep moving, Constantine said from behind me, prompting a nod from me and a croak of acknowledgement from Amaranth, who had since managed to regain his breath. Yep. Yeah. I agreed as I climbed back onto my horse and looked back down at my familiar. Are you okay to keep going?
Of course,
he answered with a snort, his mood having improved rapidly after reuniting with me.
A short run across the plains would hardly wind me.
Then let's get back at it, I said with a smile, spurring my horse to continue the journey back towards the rest of the guild. The next hour and a half passed with almost blinding speed as we closed in on the surviving guild members, the wagon becoming visible on the darkening horizon long before we got close enough to see the individual people following beside it. It seemed that they had managed to get away from Carver and his group intact, and based on what we could tell, weren't being actively pursued. Though given that Carver knew exactly where Aldford was, I didn't consider that to be a clear sign that today's conflict was over, or that it had been the last we'd seen of him. From what I could tell as we rode closer to the wagon, the first round ended in somewhat of a draw, the both of us having suffered a bloody enough nose that neither of us could claim any sort of victory.
Hey!
Freya's voice was the first to greet us as we entered earshot, a waving hand signaling us from Thorn's side at the head of the wagon. We all split up as we formally rejoined the party, the mounted members of the guild taking up position around the wagon. Party sense had helped make it clear who we were as we approached and prevented any unpleasant accidents from occurring. But despite the fact that we were up to full strength, I could tell that everyone was on edge, from the way they glanced around us, searching the plains for any sign of movement. We came as soon as we were able to get ourselves sorted, I said in greeting as I brought my horse alongside the front of the wagon to where Freya, Thorn, Halcyon, and Caius were sitting. No sooner did I pull up close did I see all of their eyes widen as they noticed the changes in my appearance. It's okay, I said, preempting their questions with a reassuring smile that I didn't quite feel, and pushed onwards, hoping to keep the conversation off myself. What happened with the rest of the battle after I, went down? Is Carver following you at all?
Doesn't seem like it.
Freya replied after a moment, not quite believing my statement, the concern remaining on her face.
As for the battle,
It was a mess, Caius said, picking up as Freya trailed off. They had the numbers, but we were better geared and trained as a whole. It was a stalemate for the longest time, at least until you did whatever you did to Carver.
What did you do, Lyrian?
Freya asked, finding her voice as she continued to look at me with concern.
I never saw you fight anything like that before.
During the fight, Carver's wolf managed to drain all of my mana, I said simply, before going on to explain what I remembered after I'd lost control of my body, taking pains to downplay just how all-consuming the hunger had been. And then I resurrected back in Oldford, badly shaken, and a little bit more warped.
Damn,
Halcyon commented, shaking his head from side to side.
That's brutal, Lear.
It's not something I hope ever to repeat, I admitted, turning my attention to Freya. If I remember right, I think I may have hit you during the fight. I'm sorry.
Shoved would be more accurate, and don't worry about it. Really, I know it wasn't you,
Freya replied with a shrug.
What you did to Carver, though, how much of it do you remember?
Next to nothing, to be honest, I said, feeling a sense of relief that she understood what had happened to me. What happened, exactly?
He broke his shield, Freya told me with a shake of her head.
Cracked it nearly in half.
I did? I looked at her with confusion. I don't remember doing that at all.
What about when you tore his arm apart?
Freya asked with a raised eyebrow.
Or brushed his spells off completely?
I blinked at her and shook my head in negation. None of that matches up to what I remember at all.
It happened, Lear, Caius said softly. I didn't see the shield bit, but I definitely saw Carver run off with a mangled arm.
Huh, I grunted before falling silent to reconsider what had happened during the fight from my perspective. Digging through my memories, I couldn't pinpoint a time where a spell might have landed on me, though I did vaguely remember my hand clawing something soft at one point. What about Carver's retreat? What happened there?
Not much to say, Freya shrugged while letting out a deep breath. After what you did, Carver was too wounded to continue fighting and was desperately trying to disengage when you fell. He started calling for a general retreat afterward, and we just let him go. We were in no shape to pursue. After that, we gathered everyone still alive and pulled out of the forest,
Freya continued, nodding her head towards Thorn and Halcyon.
Eventually, we linked up with these guys and started making our way back to Aldford as fast as we could.
God, what a shitty day, I said with resignation as I looked back at the large chunks of metal still on the bed of the wagon. At least we didn't lose the metal.
Small victories, Thorn commented. Right.
Right, I agreed with a heavy sigh. But our day isn't done yet. A handful of us still need to go back and collect our soul fragments. There's no way we can afford to eat a 20% experience loss, not knowing that Carver and his group are out here.
Soul fragments?
Caius asked, voicing the question on everyone's face as they turned sharply to look at me.
You don't lose a fragment of your soul if you die to players. You, I can understand, but the others?
The fireballs that landed in the middle of us weren't cast by players, I told the group in a heavy tone. Constantine and Sierra told me they were cast by orcs, specifically ones that were working with Carver.
Orcs?
Freya repeated with a surprised expression on her face.
Then that means...
Yeah, I confirmed with a nod, my eyes shifting between everyone. We're not as alone out here as we thought. Chapter 28 Tuesday, March 19th, 2047, 1:57 p.m. The Northern Plains.
They're riding out to meet us!
Bax called back to me from the point of our formation as he motioned for us to slow our horses to a walk.
Well, walking out to meet us at any rate.
That makes things easier,
Natasha commented happily from Bax's side, the elven woman not having strayed far from it in the last few weeks.
We should probably slow down, not to look threatening, though.
Good idea, I said distractedly, staring off into the distance where a trio of roughly made buildings stood in an area recently cleared of trees, barely able to focus my eyes on them. I was so tired that it was all I could do to keep myself steady on my horse, let alone fully be aware of my surroundings. The days since the surprise attack had done much to contribute to my level of exhaustion. The revelation that Carver was still out in the region hadn't gone well,
Once we had all managed to return to Aldford and word got out about his ambush, there were too many adventurers that had a first-hand experience of Carver and wasted no time in painting the man as an unhinged sociopath, endlessly recounting their journey to Aldford as Graves as prisoners to anyone who would listen, which eventually escalated after several of them shared their own personal feed of Carver's antics. As such, there was what could only be described as a knee-jerk reaction, as the majority of the adventurers practically demanded that we shift our focus from residential building to finishing the palisade surrounding Aldford. Carver on his own had been bad enough to unsettle everyone, but with the banded adventurers under his command, and the potential alliance with at least one orc tribe, everyone was convinced that a defensive posture was a new priority. Intellectually, I didn't disagree with them. Practically, on the other hand, it meant that all of that new construction had to fall on my shoulders. Leandra still hadn't come back from his treatment, and at this point we weren't sure if he ever would. Drace was consumed with the dig in the Nefarian ruins, which was progressing at a slow if steady pace. Then lastly, Jenkins was far too busy catering to the new settlers, providing them with tools, equipment, and the countless other things that they would need to begin taming the land around Aldford. There was simply no one else to take over the construction efforts full-time, or at least anyone else who had as much crafting experience as I did. Needless to say, I hadn't been getting much sleep or downtime over the last few days.
Lear!
Constantine's sharp voice startled me and caused my eyes to snap open, making me wonder when I'd even closed them. Blinking furiously, I looked towards my friend and realized that he was holding my horse's reins in his hands, and was in the process of getting my horse to stop, while Sierra on the other side of me had reached out to grab hold of my collar to keep me from falling straight out of my saddle. "Ugh, sorry," I said with embarrassment, catching myself and then reaching for the length of leather in Constantine's hands, trying to replay the last few seconds and coming up blank.
"Damn it, Lear! We've all told you that you've been working yourself too hard,"
Constantine exclaimed in a soft tone, keeping his voice down but still trying to convey the message.
"If you're that tired, you need to rest. The rest of us could have checked in here on our own."
"I know," I replied quietly, bringing my horse to a stop as I rubbed my eyes with a free hand. "But I felt I needed to be here, to shake hands and greet them, if nothing else. We're not exactly bringing good news."
"You feel the need to be everywhere, Lear," Sierra added from my other side, her tone matching Constantine's perfectly. "Which is fine if you're rested, but not when you're so tired that you nearly fall off your horse."
I sighed in response to both of my friends' words, knowing all too well they were right. It hadn't been completely necessary for me to have made the trek all the way out here with Sierra, Constantine, and the other two scouts. But I'd been stubborn enough to insist on coming anyway, just to meet the Hallowguard Guild in person. "Great job, Mark," I berated myself, as I made to dismount from my horse, realizing that during my almost imperceptible nap, we had drawn close enough to the advancing wave of people that there was no chance that they hadn't noticed my momentary slip-up. "Your first impression with them is gonna forever be nearly falling off your horse, because you were too tired to stay awake." With a huff of resignation, I pushed the thought out of my mind and moved to catch up with Bax and Natasha as they approached the group walking towards us, the pair clearly recognizing them as they approached. Slowing down, I forced my mind back into full awareness as our two groups closed in on one another, inspecting the three men before us carefully, having never had a chance to formally meet anyone from the guild before they'd left Aldford. The lead man, a tall and powerfully built Iberian in the center of the trio, caught my attention first, muscles rippling underneath his leather armor as he walked, hinting at him having chosen a melee-oriented class, a suggestion somewhat confirmed by his completely clean-shaven head and the large axe hanging at his waist. On the man's left walked a gray-haired half-elf, dressed in a similar style of leather armor as his companion. Though instead of an axe, the man carried a large great bow that stretched nearly as long as he was tall, a feat made all the more impressive given that he was at least a head taller than I was. From this distance, I could already see his eyes scanning each of us, attempting to determine if we were a threat. Lastly, on the other side of the lead man, was another Iberian, bearing plain if almost forgettable features. In fact, the man was so decidedly average, I found myself doing a double take just because of it, trying to pinpoint something about him that stood out, but ended up coming short.
Dressed in a plain linen shirt with dark pants, the brown-haired man stared at us blankly, no emotion visible on his face as we approached. As far as I could tell, the man didn't even seem to have a weapon on him, something that I found to be rather peculiar given our proximity to the wild.
Cassius!
Max called, waving in greeting to the lead man in the group.
It looks like you're all doing pretty well out here.
Is that you, Bax?
The man's voice sounded both relieved and happy to see a friendly face, his posture immediately relaxing as his bright blue eyes swept over us.
Ah, Natasha, you came too. What do we owe the pleasure?
Just passing through,
Bax replied as he motioned his head towards me. We have some news that you should all know about.
News?
Cassius asked with a raised eyebrow as he looked at me, his two other companions doing the same.
What kind of news needs the Guildmaster of Virtus to deliver it?
Bad news, I'm afraid, I answered in a heavy voice, having long since gotten over the fact that people recognized me by sight. We've had a bit of trouble in the area, and we were wondering if you'd seen anything.
What kind of trouble?
The half-elf asked, causing all our attention to shift to him. A few days ago, we were attacked by another group of adventurers out in the wild, I said. Some of them belonged to the Grey Devils. Others, we knew from another incident.
Carver or Graves?
The brown-haired man asked, his head cocking to the side as he posed the question.
Carver?
I replied, taken aback by the man's question. How did—
We watched your feed very carefully before we came out here,
he explained, not waiting for me to finish.
And as far as I know, that was the only other incident that happened out here. Plus, if it was anyone else, you wouldn't have come here in person.
There was a moment of silence as I stared at the brown-haired man blankly, my brain having skipped a beat at the man's eerily accurate insight.
Damn it, Berwin! Knock that shit off in front of guests!
Cassius growled in exasperation, casting a glance at the man.
Bad enough you interrupt me all the time.
Can't help that you're so slow.
Berwin replied with a dismissive shrug as Cassius took a step forward towards me, his hand outstretched in greeting.
Nice to see that things are still in good spirits here,
Bax commented with a smirk.
Don't encourage him.
Cassius chastened the scout as we shook hands, turning his head towards me as he did so.
By the way, if you didn't catch it, my name is Cassius Hart.
Lyrian Rastler, I replied, my exhaustion making me momentarily forget that they likely all already knew my name. Panicking as I moved to cover my own faux pas, I gave the man a nod and pressed forward. Nice to meet you formally this time around. I know we didn't get a chance before you guys set out on your own.
Smooth,
I told myself sarcastically, while simultaneously resolving to get through this meeting without a third slip-up of some sort.
Oh, don't worry about that. There's always too much to do in running your own settlement, though I'm sure you know that better than most,
Cassius said understandingly before he inclined his head towards his companions and continued introductions.
You've already had the pleasure of meeting Berwin here, so I'll just jump straight to the surly elf on the other side of me, Kilgore. The three of us make up the main council of the Hallowguard Guild, and by extension our settlement here, Shadows Fall.
You sure are building fast out here, I commented while Sierra and Constantine stepped forward to introduce themselves, taking the opportunity to look at the buildings in the distance a second time, realizing that I hadn't noticed that the settlement was on the edge of a rather large lake. The thick and wild tree line had partially blocked the body of water in the distance from my earlier vantage point, save for a small section that I could now see through. Looking at the settlement, I could see several people moving about as they continued about their day, the majority of their attention being focused on a large ditch that was slowly being dug around the growing hamlet.
Hope you don't mind us copying your idea for the ditch,
Cassius said after the introductions were over, noticing where my attention had drifted to.
But as Berwin said earlier, we watched your feeds and saw firsthand on how well that particular defense worked out for you guys.
No problems here, I replied, feeling quite impressed on how prepared Cassius and his guild were. I couldn't help but wish once again that they had chosen to stay in Aldford instead of settling out on their own, but I also understood their desire to be independent. I was actually going to suggest the same if you hadn't already started. One of Cassius's eyebrows rose at that statement, followed by inquiring looks from Berwin and Kilgore.
What's exactly going on, Lyrian?
Cassius asked.
You think Carver or someone's gonna try attacking us out here?
I don't know. I began with a sigh before launching into my explanation of Carver's attack and our belief that he had allied himself with a tribe of orcs, relying on more than one occasion for Sierra or Constantine to fill in any gaps that I missed. We haven't seen or heard anything from him since our skirmish.
Well, we haven't seen any orcs out here,
Kilgore was the first to answer after my explanation.
Nor any adventures we couldn't account for either, though our hunting parties have largely ranged to the north and west.
The land breaks up something bad about a day to the east from here, too, becoming broken scree and nearly barren,
Cassius added somewhat hesitantly.
We've been meaning to explore the area one day, but the creatures we've spotted out that way are in their mid-20s level-wise, if not higher.
The orcs are more than likely not out that way, then, I said, catching on to Cassius's reservation and revealing a high-level hunting spot. Not that any of us would survive against a creature more than 10 levels higher than us. And don't worry, we won't come poking around your area without an invitation. As you can probably tell, our hands are pretty full already.